Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on May 7, 2009. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in a good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. Folks, I know it's early in the morning for most of you. I have five open lines. I'd love to hear from someone, and this is open mic. I will be talking about conspiracy theories, but I would like to hear from you on any subject. That's 646-652-4620. Of course, you can email me anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, my2centsonline.com. That's my2centsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And folks, that newsletter is free of charge, and it is one of the best newsletters out there, if not the very best. He's an economist, he's great, he's an honest person to the core, and he tells it the way it is. You'll learn a lot, and it's for your own protection. You need to become informed. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. That's ContraryInvestorsCafe.com. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe button. Icon. Well, good morning, everyone. Another week has gone by. I'd like to give you first a little update. I gave you a book that I highly recommended called The China Study. It's written by T. Colin Campbell. He's a PhD and an expert in basically in food, nutrition, in things along those lines. He's world-renowned. And his book is the cornerstone for nutrition for everyone around the world. And he's worked internationally. He's worked for the government. I think he's even worked for the CDC. He used to be a dairy farmer. And believe it or not, he's advocating everyone to avoid or minimize the risk of heart disease, of Alzheimer's, diabetes, and cancers, by the way, all cancers, that everyone go on a whole food, plant-based diet. Now, I know that sounds strange to Americans because we are meat and potato guys. I know people in my own family that they refuse to eat. Literally, they will refuse to sit at the table unless there is meat and potatoes sitting on the plate. They will tolerate a few vegetables on the side, and I mean tolerate. And he's saying that this is one reason why our health care costs are going through the roof. We are eating the wrong stuff. And the right stuff are whole foods, plant-based. Whole food, plant-based. When you think about it, it makes sense. Now, I've been doing this for 2 weeks. I was mid-180s. I wasn't grossly overweight, but I was a little bit overweight. I used to be much thinner than I am now. And this morning, I weighed in at 175.2. I know you're not interested in my personal stuff. You're not listening to this program to find out how much I weighed this morning. My point being is that I am not on a diet. I am just eating whole foods, which are plant-based. And I love my two eggs in the morning. Had eggs every single morning. That means no eggs, no dairy products of any kind, and no meat of any kind. I mean, it's amazing. And you feel better. You have tremendous energy. You lose weight. You clean out your system. It is fantastic. And I'm almost finished with the book, and it just gets better as you read it through. And that is The China Study by T. Colin Campbell. I encourage everyone to read it. In fact, I am such an advocate of this, and I don't read those type books. I read economic reports, etc. My wife reads that stuff, and then she, through osmosis, I learned about this stuff. But I have been buying this book anytime it's available at the local bookstore. I've been buying them out and giving them to my friends. I don't care. I don't care how much it costs. I just give it to them. It's that important. And I'm saying this to my listeners because, folks, it is that important. If you cannot afford the book, I'll mail you a copy. Just mail it back so I can give it to someone else. All right? Just send me a request at comments@libertytalkradio.com. Okay? I mean that. Okay? Now, and please call in today. It's 646-652-4620. Now, another thing I'd like to talk about, the main subject of today, conspiracies and other government nonsense. I think it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating, that in this world of instant communication, that conspiracy theories crop up all over the place. But little thought is given as to why these theories even propagate in the first place. Think about that. The problem that I have with most conversations with people is when a comment is made, I want to know the root cause. And it drives me nuts. If someone says something, I say, well, geez, why did that happen? And typically the answer I receive is something that preceded it or may have contributed to it, but was not the root cause. I don't care what the question, what the subject is. It makes no difference. It doesn't have to be political. It doesn't have to be economic. Doesn't have to do with your liberty. Can be anything. Can have to do with your car. And I don't know why I started thinking that way. And I think what happened is 40 years ago, probably more, I was really concerned that I could not think properly. I know this sounds strange, but I could not think properly. I had a good job with a fully integrated oil company. And I would go to meetings. And I would hear people speak, and very, very often, oh, I should say most of the times, what I heard didn't make sense. But these people were a higher level than me. They were intelligent. They had higher degrees than I had. I mean, sharp. They knew the business. And yet, what they said didn't make sense. And if I questioned it, I was looked down upon. In fact, if I asked even a good question, a legitimate, very respectfully, I would be sent to a concentration camp, a company concentration camp. And when I say that, I don't mean that negatively, actually. Like, for example, one time, we had, this is when the introduction of computers first came out. I'm going back many, many years. I'm 66 years old. You can imagine I saw the advent of computers. And we had these big computers coming in. Now, computers are already there, but they're big mothers. You know, they took up an entire floor, you know, for now we have on a laptop. What constitutes what we have on a laptop today? And Owen Cain, he was the manager. He gave an excellent presentation on what these computers could do and how they operate, just on a very high level. Unfortunately, I did not understand it because he used some buzzwords that were foreign to me. I mean, it made no sense. For example, your default drive. I had no idea. I didn't default on anything. I'm current. You know, my credit card is current. You know, I said default. I didn't default. I never defaulted in my life, you know, and things like that. So his definitions and mine were very different. He gave an excellent presentation. Towards the end of the presentation, I raised my hand and I said, Owen, and by the way, Owen was a terrific guy. I mean, he was a great guy and he was incredibly hard work. This guy worked himself really from the lowest level in the organization to a relatively high level on his ability and his drive and his knowledge. I had the utmost respect for him. And I don't know if he's even alive today, but if he is, he's probably 70-something years old. And I hope he's listening to this because I had the utmost admiration for him. And I asked, I said, you know, MVS, I hear what you're saying, but I don't identify with it. Can you explain that to me? I don't really understand it. And he went over it, and I understood MVS, multiple virtual storage. Now, this was a new concept 30 years ago, 35 years ago. New. I mean, it was like groundbreaking stuff. And I understood it. And then everything he said made sense. I was immediately called into the higher level office of one of the managers and basically told that I embarrassed him by asking that question. And as a result, I wound up the next week in Houston in a three-day computer school, learning all the buzzwords so that I would not embarrass the manager again. And basically told, keep your mouth shut. Now, they didn't say this, but if you have a question, don't ask it. We don't care if you don't understand. Just go to the thing, appear as if you know what you're doing, and then leave. Make your boss look good, which obviously is the mantra of all large corporations. Now, you didn't tune into this program to listen to my past history. My point being is that I have always been curious as to what the root cause of things were. And it would anger me when I couldn't get to the root cause, or I didn't understand it, or I couldn't get there on my own. And I went on a drive for 30 years trying to find out why I presumed everyone else was so much more intelligent, so much more acutely understanding than I was. Why was I so dull? And why was I so ignorant about, not about a particular subject, but generally about everything? And why didn't I understand while everyone else understood? Well, folks, not everyone understood. But they played the game very, very well. I never played that game. I didn't understand the game. I was stupid. And that held me back in the corporation. I had a pretty good job, but I could have gone much further. Now, today, I have the same problem. When we talk about conspiracies, we are talking about something that we don't understand. Let's assume for a second that you had your relationship with your wife, friends, whomever it may be, and they were open and honest with you. Now, I'm sure everyone out there has a friend or two, and I am really lucky in that I have maybe a dozen people that I consider friends that I feel so comfortable with. They are so ingrained, so honest, so deeply caring, so selfless, that I would have absolutely no compulsion if I took all of my assets, and I've attained quite a bit of assets in my lifetime, all my asset, put all my assets in their name and say, hold on to this, take care of it for me, I'll be back in a couple of years. And I would not worry, not a second would I worry. In fact, I am assured that when I get those assets back, they will be in better condition than they were when I gave it to them. And I'm talking about money, investments, house, everything. Everything would be in better shape because they would be so concerned about it. They would, in fact, concentrate on protecting my assets because that's the type of people they are. Think about that. Now, in that type of environment, what kind of conspiracy would I conjure up regarding my friends or the relationship or my wife? Think about it. You wouldn't. You say, well, that's stupid. You know, why would you have a conspiracy? I mean, you trust these people. I mean, with all your heart and soul, that you trust these people. Why in the world would I conjure up some sort of conspiracy saying, you know, I think they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and then, you know, they're just, and the reason why they're doing that is because, you know, they're not this, and they're not that, and they're this nationality. Oh, whatever the case may be, I would conjure up, I could have a blog I can create a blog and then write on it every day all the things this person or these people are going to do to harm me. And it would grow and grow and grow and grow. None of it could be true. Now, if in fact my relationship with these people was such where I didn't really trust them, really, I mean, sort of didn't, you know, they're okay, but there's something there that just bothers me. Now, there are some people I know that are exactly like that. In fact, one person is a relatively close friend, and he's a nice guy. But, you know, give him my checkbook? No, I don't think so. You know, I would not sleep at night for, you know, until I got back and reconciled my bank account to make sure it was still there. No, I have nothing to hang my hat on. But it's that feeling, you know. And because you see some, not a feeling, it's not, that's not true. What happens, it's the person's actions. And you see what they do. And all of a sudden you say, well, geez, I wouldn't have done that. And geez, that was the word sleazy. You know, that was sleazy. And I'll give you an example. One time a person told me, they said, so-and-so sold that, you know, high-level print, this is years ago, high-level printer to a person as a new printer, got full price for it. And I turned around and said to the person, well, that was a used printer. Why would he charge full price for it? He says, because he's a good salesman. Now, would I trust that person with my money? You see what I mean? I mean, and we all know people like that. Not that they're bad people, but you just don't trust them. Now then, there's people beyond that circle. You know, you have the circle that you trust implicitly. Then there's the other ones that you a little bit. And then there's the ones out there where you go, you know, that guy, he's done some really rotten things and it didn't bother him. And what happens then? Then you conjure up stories for yourself. Everything becomes a story. Oh, that guy did that because of this. They may not be true, but you conjure up tons and tons and tons of stories. In fact, if you go to seminars on self-improvement type thing, they talk about people. I know my friends go to these things. I don't go to these things. I can't sit there all those whiles. I can't. I'm not that. I'm too restless. But they talk about how people tell stories about things that they're just conjuring up. They may or may not be true, but we tell stories to ourselves and we live in these stories. And that's what we do. And then we react. We say, you know, that person does that because they're German, you know, and you know how Germans are, you know, whatever the case may be, or they're Italian, and you know, Italians are, whatever the case may be. And we tell ourselves these stories constantly. And, you know, we can create a blog and tell all sorts of stories and conjure up all sorts of stuff, none of which is true. May be true, may not be true, but we tell ourselves stories. Now, what is all this personal stuff that I'm telling you? All this personal stuff have to do with conspiracies and other government nonsense. And by the way, folks, let me stop for station identification. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. We have five open lines. I know it's early in the morning. I'd love to hear from anyone. Just call up and say, Joe, you know, you suck. Thank you very much, and hang up. That's all right. I'll take that. And it's 646-652-4620. But if you do, tell me why I suck. That's all. Okay. Oh, by the way, I received an email from Bob Heft, the creator of the 50-star flag, and he was very complimentary. Said one of the best interviews he's ever had, and he said thousands of interviews, and I thought that was pleased. Anyway, but I had to share that with you. But what happens when the government does something? Do most people today, because they've been numbed, they just accept it? Well, you know, this happened because of this, and they repeat word for word what the government said. And when they say the government said, we say what the news said, because the news is representing the government. They're not the check on the government for us anymore. So, we hear this, and it, you know, first of all, the government has a terrible track record. In fact, they're batting a thousand that on deceit. They are so deceitful. So every time the government does something, what happens? A conspiracy evolves. Now, but these conspiracies are not all smoke and mirrors. There's some logic behind them. And I'd like to talk about the big one. Pardon me. The big one. What happened on September 11, 2001? What kind of answers did we get from the government? We got sleazy answers. You know, we see pictures that make absolutely no sense. Now, they possibly could make sense, but if you trusted that person explicitly, first of all, you would be more reluctant to question it. But more so, that person would say, oh, you know, that plane that went into the Pentagon that looked like a rocket and had no wings and had no engines or anything like that, and there were no plane parts, we could explain that, and we're going to put this, here's a video in slow motion, here is the 757, whatever it was, going in there, and watch it disintegrate, and you can see it by, you know, nanosecond by nanosecond, and you can see, well, you know, they would do it. But what does the government do? Comes in, confiscates all of the videos in the area. The videos at the service station, everywhere that there could be a video, they confiscate everything, and then they conjure up, they make up the story, or they tell us a story. And then what we do is we tell stories to ourselves, just like we tell stories to people that we don't trust. And every time someone does something, we conjure up the story again. Well, we keep on conjuring up stories about the government. But the thing is, there's substance behind those conspiracies. They may not be correct, but there's a reason why they're out there. Because the government is not being honest with us. It's like having a friend that is really, I mean, a person that you know. You call him an acquaintance, not really a friend, because a friend is someone that you really trust. He's an acquaintance. You like hanging out with the guy. You have fun at the bar with him. I mean, all this other stuff. Maybe you picked up some chicks at the bar with him. You had a lot of fun, you know. You even got drunk with him. You know, really, you know, Bobby's a good guy, you know, listen to that. But you wouldn't trust him with 50 cents. Forget about it. Wouldn't trust him with a nickel or penny. And this is what we have here. We have a government that we don't trust. And that's why you have conspiracy theories. Look what happened at World War II. The history books, the comic book history books, talk about how Japan just willy-nilly just decided, screw America, we're going to bomb the hell out of them, you know, just kill everybody. And then we accept it. Well, oh, the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor. When you read the government documents, forget about what people read the government documents, you will realize that we were so complicit in that action that we should have had several people tried for treason for what they did, and the result of almost 3,000 of our troops, our military dying on that thing, needlessly dying, and getting us into a war unnecessarily. Same thing with World War I. Same thing with the Spanish-American War. Same thing with the War of 1812. Same thing with the Vietnam War. Same thing with Korea. They all are the same. You hit over and over and over and over again. And now when the government says something, you go, that doesn't sound right. And it doesn't sound right. Now, sometimes it could be right. I doubt it, but it could be right. But what do? We revert back to our defensive mechanism, and we start telling those stories about ourselves. You can't trust the government. Blog City, or whatever the case may be. And that's why there's organizations that are fighting the government for the truth. We have an organization here in Tulsa, and it is a phenomenal organization. They put in so much effort, and they get nothing in return, called Tulsa Truth. And they have meetings once a month to try to dispel, to try to clarify what the government is saying to us. And it's interesting. Now, they cannot prove that they are 100% right. But it seems so much more logical. You trust these people so much more than you do government officials. And so government hands us nonsense. Every time they do something, it's nonsense. We know it's nonsense. And as a result, we should be. No quite, we should be revolting. We should join a revolution. A revolution in thought, being dissidents in action all the time. And we should tell our elected officials, you're not getting, if it's up to me, you wouldn't get back into office. I want somebody in there who protect my rights and my liberty and stop giving me garbage lip service. Last night, I met a guy that I had not seen in, oh, maybe a year. And I just met him once at a Starbucks. And he had his dog and all. He remembered me. I vaguely remembered him, and I felt so badly. I said, you know, that's not very nice that someone remembers you and your name, and you vaguely remember the person, but you don't remember the person's name. And when he told me his name, then things came to light. And I said, that's terrible. You know, I really felt badly about that. And I told him I felt badly about that. And he said, oh, no, he said, I had sunglasses on, a hat. And he says, I was walking my dog. It's a different environment. He says, I don't expect you to remember me. He said, you didn't have sunglasses on. He says, I can recognize you right away. But he remembered my name, which was kind of neat. And his name was Phil. And we were talking, you know, he's just talking about politics. He said, did I go to the Tea Party events here in Tulsa? I said, I did it. I went to the one downtown at the park at 5 o'clock. And he said he was disappointed in the one that he went to because the politicians showed up. And John Sullivan, who is the congressman for this area, got up there and talked about, you know, how proud he was for all the people. Well, he voted for all the crap that we were talking about. He voted for all of the bailouts. And here the guy is up there talking about, you know, how he's, you know, how we're proud and, you know, he's with us 100%. The guy's a con man. I mean, he's like that guy that you know that, you know, you just didn't do anything wrong, but you just don't trust. But in this case, he did a lot of things wrong. And it's on record. It's not supposition. So what happens? Conspiracies abound all over the place. The government creates conspiracies, but maybe the government wants these conspiracies because it keeps us busy. And maybe as a result of these conspiracies, we keep our eye off the ball. And provided we keep our eye off the ball, we never get on base. You see what I mean? And I think it's a real problem. We have to keep our eye on the ball, at the same time, do what we're doing now and do more of it. I just wish, I dearly wish, that all of these organizations, GU, for example, Get Out of Our House, wonderful organization, and I recruit everyone. I'm suggesting that everyone join GU, Get Out of Our House, and that GU attracts well over 1 million people. But I'd like to see GU join ranks with other organizations similar to GU. And there are thousands of organizations, all of which can join together to free America again. Because if, in fact, the only way that we will change things is if there is a revolution. Now, before you say, when I say revolution, I don't mean we're going to get guns and shoot people in the street. I mean legally, by the ballot box, you know, by speaking to our congressmen, by taking a stance, by not supporting organizations like NBC, CBS, CNN, ABC, those organizations that are spouting government vile crap. If we start doing that, we can change the world. And that's my commentary for today. Next Sunday evening, we're going to have Devi, and she will be our guest. It'll be a fabulous program Sunday evening at 8 o'clock. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, "Don't steal." The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.